This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Appreciate you guys being with us here. Sirius Channel 158, YouTube TV, VSiN Watch app, terrestrial station across this great country of ours. We get a field goal up and good. Extend the lead to 20-3 now. Giants over the Raiders. Geno Smith is slowly walking back out on the field. Like a child.
It feels like he's done with this.
Like a child that just got like reprimanded. He just kind of was like, okay, I'll go back out there and throw another pick. That's fine. If you really want me to, I'll do it.
He's just wondering who is going to sack him this drive.
Yes. I mean, it is. We giggle, but I have a bet on this one, and then somebody has a $2 million bet on this one as the final entry that we don't know the result in Circa Survivor is on the New York Football Giants here in this one. We lost three on the Bucks earlier. We advanced three on the Pats. We advanced two on the Bengals, and we set up one here with the Giants as it is 20-3. Again, it's halfway through the third quarter, so we would need a lot here from Geno Smith and company to – oh, he just took a hit on that dump off too.
Yeah,
he hates life
he
so much right now.
By two,
he hates
he
life so
by
much.
Two separate guys.
He's just like, guys, can you just put Kenny in? Like, he's like, this is dumb. I need to go home and list my house on the MLS. Like, can you just put Kenny?
Even like when he's walking to the line, you could just he's got like his arms hanging, just as this sad look to him, just slowly walking up there. He's like, really, guys, I got to keep doing this.
Yeah. Just keep taking pops. Jackson Dart is 17 of 24 for 158, which is probably not good for you. At least he doesn't have any touchdowns. Like we don't want him to like climb. We don't want him to climb the board.
I don't think Dart can win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think it's a two horse race, and really it should be Tyler Shuck who should be the favorite after today.
I would like to think.
Tet McMillan goes one catch for 5 yards. And Shuck goes out there and throws for 330 yards and two touchdowns and leads another come-from-behind victory for the Saints. They're fourth in a row. It just feels like the momentum around Shuck should continue to build, and he's playing his best football at the right time here. So I would expect he reopens as the favorite in that market.
We are finally going here in the second half as the Eagles kick off to the Bills. Again, this is 13-0. In favor of the Eagles, but a nice run back out to the 40-yard line. So if you're the Bills and you want to try to get back in this thing, that's the way to start it. So out to the 40, so they will need to go 60 yards for a touchdown and try and cut the – oh, there's a flag. Oh, boy. Never mind. There's a flag.
Can't have nice things, Matt. Can't have nice things.
Every good run back begins with a flag, right? Like every single good run back begins with a flag. So we'll see – don't know the official call quite yet, but it does look like the Bills are upset. So we're getting screams from the sideline there, Mike.
You can get 6.5 with Buffalo right now in game if you're interested. Yeah. Total sitting at 35.5 here. Plus 250 seems a little short on the Bills in my mind.
Yep, holding. Every good run back ends with a penalty, and that was a hold. I mean, it was a hold. He turned the guy around.
It feels like the majority of runbacks involve a hold.
Yeah.
It's just whether or not the flag gets thrown.
That was a little too blatant because he had him by the shoulder and then the guy was trying to get away, so he spun the dude around. Like, you're not getting away with that one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're never getting away with that one. So.
No. He got his money's worth on that hold.
Yeah. Go ahead and get it in there. So we said we were going to talk about these NFC odds, and I am actually going to pay off the tease here because it is, like we said, there are the two favorites, and I think the rifle favorites. That being said, Mike, the co-favorites, Seattle and the Rams, I get it. We're talking about the inside track here to the one with Seattle. That said, the Niners are 6-1. They beat – well, they still have to win tomorrow night, which is why the number is where it's at. So they still have to win two games, but they are heavily favored on the other side of a field goal against the Bears. They're 6-1. Rams 260, Seahawks 260, Eagles 475, Bears 750, Packers 10-1, Bucks are 40, and the Panthers are 60. Those, I actually agree with those. They cannot win the NFC. No.
Well, here's the thing. We talked about in the AFC where there are five legitimate teams I think can win the AFC. I look over in the NFC. I would be surprised if it's not the Rams or the Eagles in the Super Bowl. those two teams, when you look through the full list of them, like I there is the defense for the Niners I'm out on. The Bears, they've just been like the miracle after miracle games. At some point has to slow down there. I still have issues around Caleb Williams. I still have some issues around that defense. The Packers, they're not going to be able to overcome the injuries that they've sustained. I wish they could. I have tickets on them at great numbers from before the season started, but the Parsons injury combined with the other injuries we've seen on the defensive side, the fact they don't have Tucker Kraft, all of these different things are clearly adding up for the Packers and putting them in a very tough spot. So I'd be surprised if they get out. I can't in my right like mind bet the Seahawks at +260 if the Rams are +260. To me, clearly you're taking the Rams instead of the Seahawks, despite the fact that Seattle might have home field advantage. So it really boils down to Rams +260 and Eagles +475, and which route you want to go in that direction. I think the Rams are the better team, but the Eagles have the upside to be the best team in the NFC. So this to me seems a lot more clear cut than what we see over in the AFC.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the 6-1 is at least mildly interesting on the 49ers, but the problem is just that. I mean, the problem just becomes is the defense going to be able to hold up? I think the offense will be able to move. They're going to sit Kittle this week, and I think they should. Do you want them? Obviously, you want the one seed, but you're going to make the playoffs, and you cannot have a banged up Kittle. If you have any, if you want any shot of doing anything, you have to have Kittle. So it's like you can't roll him out there and then have this ankle injury get worse. So I agree with them sitting Kittle, even though it might cost them the number one seed. The offense, though, can roll. And Shanahan, obviously, very good. Whatever. It's just, I guess, the defense is the thing that really has the hang-up here for me, where, you know, if they were flip-flop numbers with the Bears, if they were 750 and the Bears were 6, like if that was the case, like the 49ers would be interesting to me at 750. I don't know about 6.
Yeah, I couldn't get there with the Niners. The defense, like, they have no pass rush. And Bosa's not coming back. There were some reports that you might get your linebacker back, that Warner might come back at some point during the playoffs. But the loss of Bosa and the fact that you have zero pass rush for a Robert Saleh defense that wants to have a front four rush and just cannot create any pressure with their front four makes it hard for me to have any interest in backing the 49ers. At some point, that offense is not going to execute at the level to be able to get them through that they're going to need to execute at, because their defense is going to give up good points. It's a very similar team in my mind to some that we talked about in the AFC, where it's like, yeah, that's fine. If everything rolls true, your offense can get you through it. But the defense is just, it's not good. They probably have the worst defense of anybody in the tournament. I'm double checking just to make sure. I mean, they have the worst defense of, well, I guess the Bucs or Panthers, which would take it. But outside the Bucs or the Panthers, they have the worst defense of the 14 teams that will make the playoffs.
Yeah, Bucs would give them a run for their money for sure. But no, I agree. I'm with you there on that one. It seems to me we're going to be sitting here going like, boy, we let the Eagles fool us. And here they are again in the Super Bowl. Like, here they are again in the Super Bowl. I mean, you've got two really good receivers. You got two really good receivers, a good tight end, a really good running back. You're going to get Lane Johnson back. We're probably going to sit here and go, oh my God, here are the Eagles again.
I mean, if you gave me $100 and said bet one of them, it would be Eagles +475 right now.
Yeah, based off the number.
The Eagles +475, then it would be Rams +260, and then I don't know what it would be after that. I guess Bears, but I guess the Bears. I like the Bears tonight against the Niners. Mm-hmm. I think they win that game outright. So I would lean toward the Bears at +750, I guess, is the third choice there. I like Seattle. I've been high in Seattle all year. I think they are a better regular season team than they are a playoff team. I think when you have to face the high level of the high caliber of defenses that they're going to have to face with good offenses, it's going to be tough for Seattle to be able to make all the way through.
Yeah, you start to look at this, right, and you just go, the Rams, we've like nitpicked basically everything about a lot of these teams or something, and then we've like gotten to the Eagles and we've gotten to the Rams and we've kind of been like, well, it's kind of hard to defenses are solid. Offensive lines are solid. Good running backs, good receivers. I guess the Rams special teams have had a couple of little.
Done it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the Rams special teams, it's at a couple of different points this season. This Rams team could like almost be undefeated, by the way, if it wasn't for like special teams mess ups, you know?
Well, it's funny, the two Thursday night games that they lost. They lost to the Niners in that overtime game where they ran it on fourth and one, dead up the middle and got stuffed. And they had a plethora of opportunities to win that game and didn't do it. Then they lost that Thursday night game to Seattle. And they won either of those, this would be your one seed. They'd be a lot shorter than plus 260.
Wasn't it the Rams that they were kicking the field goal to beat them? And then the Rams blocked the field goal and then it ended up covering or something. Remember? Or was that? Wasn't that the Rams? Which game was that?
The Rams Eagles game. Rams Eagles.
That was a specialty. Yeah, that was a special teams loss for this Rams team.
The Seattle was a special teams loss too. Yeah. I mean that if they don't return that punt for a touchdown, Seattle's never coming back.
Yeah. Unreal. So the Geno didn't get the memo. Touchdown Raiders. Tyler Lockett.
Fourth and goal touchdown.
And you know what? There's like, you know what, Tyler Lockett, probably your last season. Let's get you a touchdown here. So good on that. Tyler Lockett into the end zone. 20-10. Extra point is up and good. So it is a 10-point deficit now, and now we get into the now the spread comes into play because this thing did kick at 3. Now, if you got it earlier in the week, you're not sweating it all that much. But this did get to 3, so now we're gonna at least have to start sweating the spread a little bit before we maybe start to sweat whether this game could actually be in jeopardy or not. Still 13-0, Eagles and the Bills. The Bills get to a 4th-and-1, decide to punt it away. I guess they think that this Eagles team is not going to go for the jugular, but they're all the way back out to close to midfield. So we'll keep you updated there on that one. And of course, the lines for next week, Mike Thomas, are starting to pop up. Is there anything we like? It's Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Well, you might not have to sweat that Giants ticket anymore, at least for the time being, as the kickoff gets returned for a touchdown. We got a flag on the play, but it's probably, unsportsmanlike.
Yeah, so, excessive celebration on the Giants.
Yeah, so the points will stay on the board. It'll just be like a 50-yard extra point. But it will be at least 26-10. What did they? Oh, is it because people came off the bench? Because that's like 100 people. There's not that many people that play on the team.
Pretty much everybody ran into the end zone. Yes. Multiple guys without helmets.
Yes. People ran off the bench like it's completely
Tracy's
undisciplined.
Not on the return team.
It's almost as like it's a team that doesn't have a head coach. Oh, they don't. Never mind. They don't.
Oh, wait a second.
Yeah. So that'll set up a 48-yard extra point, but it's good. So 27-10, we're back comfortably covering again. So we are back comfortably covering again as they run the kickoff back for a touchdown. Now, the stupidity that we saw in the other game, we get a punt. Philadelphia punts it down to the 1-yard line, in which the ball had stopped, didn't need to be touched.
It was not moving
on the 1-yard line. And a guy, because he needs to be a hero, ran in to make sure that he was the one that touched it, while not just slowing down his momentum enough, Mike, to not also step on the goal line and then donate 19 yards to the Bills, who then open up with a James Cook 10-yard run and get to the 30-yard line. As opposed to starting this drive on the 1, they get it out to the 20, and then now instantly move it to the 30. It's just the kickoff. I mean, the punt team guys, the special team dudes. If I was a special teams coach, I'd be like, hey guys, you know what's really good? The ball on the 3-yard line. It doesn't have to be on the 6-inch line every single time. And how many times do we see them wait to touch the ball and then they let it get too far? Because guess what? The ball's oblong and it bounces weird sometimes and stuff. And so it's like No, just stop it on the three. Just stop it over. If the ball's not moving, just gently walk up and touch it. Just gently walk up. You don't have to run full speed and sprint and then have your momentum take you into the end zone. It's just absolutely wild. But with all that, now we got a drive going here for Buffalo. And it's very much in play here. It's only 13-0 and 10 minutes left in the third quarter. And it's Josh Allen, as they show the sky that is just, it's monsooning there in Buffalo. It is monsooning there in Buffalo. I just actually see a weather report coming through right now. It is not ending anytime soon. So it is going to rain all game long.
No, it is going to rain the entire game here. No. It is in the mid-30s, so it's a cold game and a downpour of a rain. The field, to Buffalo's credit, has not been affected. You haven't seen anybody slip out there, but not fun conditions to play in. But as you said, like the 19 yards, it's not just the 19 yards. It's the play calling from the offense and the difference in the play calling that you're going to see on the one-yard line versus the 20-yard line. Buffalo back-to-back 10-yard plays, and all of a sudden they're in business. And if they go down and score a touchdown, this is a one-score game. All of a sudden, despite being Buffalo being dominated the entire time.
Yeah, so I mean, it's the little things here and there that could add up. I mean, you just don't want to give Josh Allen don't give Josh Allen 19 yards. Like of all the guys in the league, don't give Josh Allen 19 yards. Guys, ProfitX, it is a prediction market out there. Many of you have access to. You can go in, find the best future pricing on college football, national championship, and Super Bowl odds. Huge holiday slate shaping up. So go in, take advantage of their 20% purchase match. So download ProfitX today. Experience the future of winning. Use the promo code VSIN to get started and get that 20% purchase match over at ProfitX. Mike, we said there are a couple of lines that have hit already. It is the Ravens and Steelers, the Panthers and Bucks, the games we know are going to mean a whole lot. The Ravens on the road, 3-point favorites over the Steelers. 43.5 is the total. If you think the Steelers win this thing outright, you're getting a little over plus 140 on that thing. Now, I would assume TJ Watt is back for this one because he almost went today. So I'm guessing he's back. You would think Lamar is going to play through a bruise considering playoffs are on the line. So I'm guessing this line is straight. Like it's kind of this line is that both of those dudes are playing.
Yeah, Lamar will play. I mean, he was questionable heading into this with the back. I would be surprised if he doesn't go. TJ Watt will be out there. So, and I think three is correct. Like when you look at these two teams and how you're currently rating them, I've been down on Baltimore the last few weeks, or I should say the 2 weeks prior to this one, we talked about betting Baltimore last night, but this is a team that's been overvalued by the market. And this is not a situation where I think Baltimore is necessarily being overvalued. I think three on the road is the correct number here. If this was 2.5, I'd be on Baltimore. If it was 3.5, I'd be leaning toward the Steelers. So at three, it's tough to try and run and get this one in my account because I do agree with this number. Baltimore should be favored on the road. It shouldn't be more than a field goal. That's exactly what we're sitting at. So it feels like this is a well-sided game right now, Matt.
43.5 is the total. It's far too it's way too far in advance for us to get any sort of weather report. Mike, we know we've seen the games today. Like if there's weather, this number is too high. It is Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. It is Pittsburgh in January, you know.
Is it too high anyway?
That's kind of where I'm going with it. I'm wondering if I kind of want to get an early under in here. And I can always buy off of it if something happens here. But here's the deal. We're assuming Lamar plays. I mean, something could happen in practice. This is definitely a Lamar number. If this was Snoop Huntley, I mean, this is going to be like 39.5, right?
Well, you saw Baltimore have a lot of success running the football this week. You would assume they're going to continue to run the football. You saw the Pittsburgh offense without DK Metcalf this week. They need to run the football, right? It feels like this is a run-heavy game plan from both of these teams. You would expect it's going to be a close game, a tight game. 43.5 feels just, I mean, like I just checked my numbers. 41 is where I have this at. Like, for the fact that everything pristine, we're getting to 43.5 here, meaning we don't know necessarily the weather report. We expect that we're going to have Lamar out there. To me, this is not a bad one to take the under now.
I think I'm going to go ahead and toss it into the account. And then, like I said, I can play off of it. If I hate it a little bit later in the week, I can figure out a way to maneuver off of it. But I think that, like I said, I think that this is They have to put out a total because they're putting out the game, but it's too far for them to know what the weather is going to be like. It's too far for them to know whether Lamar is going to play or not. I mean, there's all of that, right?
Oh yeah,
and the fact that Pittsburgh offense stinks.
Yeah, I mean the look ahead is 38 degrees on Sunday in Pittsburgh, so obviously a ways out, right? We're a full week out of this, but we also don't know when these games are going to be played, which I think is important to note as well. Like this is an entire flex week, so we'll see where this game ends up in the flex. I would assume it's either afternoon or one of the night games, so we'll have to keep an eye on that as well. The weather worse on Saturday night in Pittsburgh than it is on Sunday too, so we will have to kind of see how this plays out. And the games next week are all on Saturday or Sunday. So this could easily be your Saturday night game in Carolina-Tampa, your Sunday night game. Depending on how they decide to filter this, we could get a worse weather situation, as it is supposed to be cloudy in the low 30s, down to as low as 19 on Saturday in Pittsburgh. So I like the under here, 43.5.
It's in the account. I played the under 43.5 there on the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game. Again, I think that this number is assuming that all is well. And it's too far in advance for us to know that all is well. So I think I can only get better on this. I don't think it's going to get worse for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Hey, that is pristine conditions at 43.5, right? You get Lamar, no surprise injuries on either offense, and you have good weather. 43.5 makes sense.
So, Mike, we were talking about this Eagles defense, and maybe this team is like coming together at the right time. They get to Josh Allen again, and I think if they score here, we might see Buffalo pull the ripcord, because Allen came up limping after that sack, and that's the fourth sack already. He's been hit a couple of other times as it is. And, you know, if you're going to lose anyway, then don't get your quarterback battered. Gino with the
pick.
Especially
Josh Allen.
Gino doing his part, baby. There we go. There we go, Gino. Gino's doing the part. Well done. And now he's laying flat out. This is it. That might be the last pass he throws as a Raider. Oh, there's
Gino
a flag.
Gino just like, I'm good.
Oh, did he get roughed? Did he get roughed? Flag on the play, and Gino is down and then took his helmet off out on the field. So, again, I guess this could not be a turnover. If he did, in fact, get roughed, personal foul. So it didn't say roughing the passer, so I'm wondering if it was during the return. Yes. Okay. So it is still their ball, but that was not. Oh, okay. Put the flags on him. Just put flags on him. The guy like barely nicked him. What are we doing? Anyway,
it's the blind side. You're not allowed to have the blind side block.
27-10 in favor of the Giants. They just picked Geno again. Keep you updated when we come back. Ready, set, bet here on Visa.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich watching the Giants convert a long one. Get on the good side of the 50, 1st and 10. They're up by 17. Geno Smith leaving the field. Could have been his final pass there as a Raider. Raiders going to get that first pick. Probably going to take a quarterback. And probably Geno Smith will be backing up somewhere else. Geno Smith will be someone else's backup next year.
You would think so. You would think that's going to be it there. It's been just atrocious year for the Raiders and the moves that they made. I fell for it. I said, you've got an adult in the room at quarterback. You've got an adult in the room at head coach. It didn't work out.
No.
It didn't work well at all for this Raiders organization.
We could go pull the tape from us in the preseason, and where I whiffed just mainly was the assessment of Geno Smith. I said, I don't think they're going to win a lot of games, but I think they'll be froggy. I think they'll be a tough out because at least you have a quarterback and whatever. And like, he was just not, he was one of the worst in the league the entire season long. And with that, you know, just kind of is what it is.
This wasn't a team that was devoid of weapons either. At the start of the year, you had healthy Brock Bowers. Yeah. You had Jacoby Myers. You're wondering what Ashton Gentry's going to be. You've got Michael Mayer at the other tight end. You've got Max Crosby on the defensive side. We both thought the defense would be a liability, but like you didn't expect the offense to also be a liability. And this offensive line is wildly underperformed. Bowers is banged up the majority of the year. Myers is now playing for Jacksonville. I mean, things just went off the rails for this Las Vegas Raiders season.
And another first down there for the Giants. So they're about to ice this one. And good on the person, by the way, we should say, good on the person that had the stones to take the Giants. And you made a $2 million bet on a road team that had not won on the road all season long.
That was 2-13.
That was 2-13.
And you were correct.
That was 2-13 and a 2-point favorite whenever you had to, you know, because when they had to lock it in, I mean, I know it got to 3 today, but like it was 2 whenever you had to lock in your pick. That is
pretty aggressive take. Aggressive take there. And it valued over 3 million by the time you get there too. 6 teams left, divide 18 million by 6. You got 3 million a team. So $3 million on this game with the Giants here, and it's feeling pretty good about it right now. Up 27-10 here with 8:37 left on the clock. I will say, Matt, I would appreciate 2 more yards from Tyrone Tracy, because we talked about his over 60 and a half rushing yards. He's at 59. Been a lot of Singletary carries on this drive. Maybe if we could go back to Tracy, I would appreciate it. Just throwing it out there.
Jackson, you've got the game in hand. Don't be – what are you doing? Okay. Woo! He thought about taking off again. Buddy.
I mean, he still took a big hit that he did not need to take there.
Someone's got to have a talking with this. He's got talent. This team has potential, man. This team is looking up. But
well, if you could take one of these terrible teams and coach them, wouldn't you pick the Giants?
Yeah.
Got Malik Nabers. You've got a real left tackle. You've got Jackson Dart. Like, you've got multiple deep pieces on the defensive line. If you were trying to flip a team from being awful to good fast, the Giants make the most sense as that team.
This is hyperbole, guys. I'm not saying this, but I mean, if there was to be a Jacksonville of next year, right? A team that went from 4 to double digit or something like that. Like the Giants with the right coach, what they can do in the offseason to add at least one more piece on the offensive side to go along with neighbor. I mean, like I'm interested in this team. I think that the future is fairly bright, but again, he's just got to play within himself, man.
He's got to stay healthy.
Yeah. He's just got to play within himself.
He's played 10 games. He's been checked for a concussion 7 times, I believe I read. He's missed multiple games with a concussion. Like, you can't do that at the quarterback position in the NFL. That doesn't work.
No, cannot do that. So let's just – you're up 17, buddy. You know? Don't scramble your brains for no reason. Let's not do that. Guys, we're running a holiday special right now. Everything we do, $79 now to May the 1st. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. That will get you all of our best bets on the picks page. That will also get you the articles breaking down everything going on in the sports world that we post every single day on the site. You get the AI projections for the rest of the NFL season and the NBA season as well. And, of course, the betting splits page with stuff coming straight from Circa and DraftKings. So, again, VSiN.com/subscribe. $79, everything we do now until May the 1st. Mike, we still have one kick this evening. Chicago Bears are on the road at San Francisco. It is 3.5. I said yesterday on this show, and so I'll let everybody know that I followed through with what I said. If there was not going to be Kittle, then I was going to like the Bears. And we get news from Schefter early this morning that it was, quote, highly unlikely that Kittle was going to play. Of course, we won't get that information here until right as we're going off air, the official injury reports and all that 90 minutes before the kickoff. But I just went ahead and acted on that information. Schefter is very, very, very rarely mistaken. And so I took the 3.5 because I do believe that he makes a ton of difference when you start to look at how they're going to effectively move the ball on a down in, down out basis. You can throw to McCaffrey a ton, which, by the way, in conjunction with that, Mike, I took over on McCaffrey. I took 40. I did a little same game parlay of over 40 receiving yards for McCaffrey and over 40 receiving yards for Juwan Jennings. So 40 plus for both of them that paid some plus money. So that's kind of where I'm going with this one. I think the Bears can keep this thing within a field goal. They might lose, but it feels like a field goal game.
I like the Bears. I like the over in this spot. So I have Bears plus 3.5. I have over 51.5. I agree with you on Juwan Jennings. I think he makes a lot of sense from a receiving prop here. We've seen this in the past where you'd start losing players, specifically Kittle, and you get to a situation where you've got Purdy who just kind of locks in on somebody. It feels like Jennings is the most likely guy he locks in on here. You do have Pearsall back, but we're not sure at what type of go Pearsall is going to be. Jennings 55.5 receiving yards. I'll take the over there. I'll also take him up to 80. Where you can get some nice plus money on Juwan Jennings going over that number. And then I like Luther Burden in this game too. He missed last week for the Chicago team. You saw Zacchaeus come in and kind of fill that role for him. Luther Burden back in this spot. I think he has an opportunity to have a pretty big game here. He's sitting at 51.5, like his over on the prop as well.
Josh Palmer with a masterclass on how not to catch a back shoulder throw. I mean, just like... just unbelievable.
Oh, geez.
He didn't square up at all. Oh, they got Quinyon Mitchell for interference. They got Mitchell for interference on that. I guess they were tangled up a little bit. Big break there for the Bill. I mean, listen, big break for
the
Bills.
He was holding him.
He was? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he was holding him.
So, I mean, we are... Again, it's still only 13-0. I mean, this game is very, very much still out there for this Bills team. 5 minutes left in the third quarter. We've got 20 minutes of game time left. But this defense the Eagles has been just lights out.
Still plenty of time. The Giants now on the 11-yard line of the Raiders as they try and just officially salt this one away up 27-10.
I think you might have got your 2 yards
Tracy.
Right there. I think you might have got your 2 yards.
Gains 3 yards. Okay. Give me those. All right. Tyrone Tracy goes over his rushing total. Get that winner home in the late window. This is a drive that matters for the Bills. The Bills still could win the division. I realize it's a long shot, but they still have the opportunity to do so. And this is a big spot for them to try and come through. But they just have not been able to get anybody open. As I say that, they hit a downfield pass. But
Josh Allen just YOLO'd one.
Not open though.
No, Josh Allen just straight YOLO'd one, and Shavers makes the contested catch.
They have not had anybody open all day, and like the Shavers just jumps up over and mosses Quinyon Mitchell there. But it's not been a pretty performance here by the Buffalo offense.
Actually got lucky because the ball came loose, and when Mitchell fell on him, it pinned it back into his arm, and like that's how the catch was made. But they'll have second. They ran up to the line obviously so that they didn't get this thing challenged. They had lost the challenge anyway because it was just a very lucky deal. The ball was about to go to the ground, but Mitchell falling on top of Shavers actually pinned it back into Shavers' chest. And so first and goal, they run a quick play to make sure that they didn't get this play nullified. And so it'll be second and goal for the Bills. Again, only down 13, Mike. This game is still up for grabs.
A touchdown here makes it a one-score game, and all of a sudden you got to wonder whether or not Buffalo can come back and find a way. The Philadelphia offense hasn't been great either. They've been very vanilla, but they've not been great moving the football in this game.
Josh Allen finds, I thought he was going to get in. Finds Khalil Shakir, but they just pounced on him instantly. So it'll be third and goal from what's look like about the 3-yard line, something like that. Jackson Dart gets a roughing call, a very weak roughing call, but
yeah.
They're up 17, by the way. So that is a 3-score game over there. You can almost cash those tickets. 4:30 left in the fourth quarter.
Any points here pretty much puts us out of reach.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty
much. From a cover perspective.
Yeah. That's going to say you pretty much cash those tickets. But again, 4:30, you're going to get a fresh set of downs here. So, I mean, they could run another 2 minutes off the clock. Oh, it was?
They called the intentional grounding. So it's offsetting with the intentional grounding and the hit to the quarterback.
We'll let you know if the Bills can get into the end zone. Going to have to go for it here on fourth down as they trail by 13 and the Giants down in the red zone as well. Ready, set, bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich. And Mike, I think you're one of the races that you mentioned earlier is about to go off. You want to refresh people's memory here of what
your picks were? We played the 9th and the 10th at Santa Anita. 9th race, we took the 8. Astronomer ran second. I thought was going to win the race the majority of the time coming down the stretch. Ended up running second. The 10th year, we're going with number 5, Midland Money. That's the grade 1 Malibu, the last grade 1 of the season for 3-year-olds. We have a couple scratches in this race. You can still get 3-1 right now on the 5, Midland Money, who I think has a shot at taking this field gate to wire. Because of the scratches, if you want to get a little interesting from a price perspective, the number 2, Modus Bestia, I think it's a little interesting at 8-1, but the two favorites, Midland Money and the 10 Goal Oriented, should be tough in this spot.
Into the end zone for Jackson Dart on a scramble, and that's going to do it. So, nail in the coffin. Hey, Raiders, the only stupid thing you could do is go out and win next week. So just...
Yes, that would be very dumb.
Kenny Pickett is into the game. We might have seen the final pass of Geno Smith's career as a Raider anyway.
Buffalo did get a 3-and-out after being stopped at the 6-inch line. The punt for Philly only went to the 39-yard line. So Buffalo starts their drive. I'm sorry, the 41. So Buffalo starts their drive here at the Philly 41-yard line, down 13. But again, in scoring position here to try and get on the board for the first time against the Eagles.
So the scenario did get laid out. Mike, you and I were doing this off air, and I forgot, and we weren't doing it on air. Because we looked and we were going, wait a minute, if the Falcons win out and then the Bucs win in week 18, all three of them are 8-9 in the division. So someone just laid it out. So if the Falcons beat the Rams tomorrow,
mm-hmm,
and the Saints win in week 18, then because of all of the tiebreaker stuff, the Panthers win the division even if the Bucs beat them.
Hmm.
So if the Falcons beat the Rams.
So the Falcons win out.
And no. Because it would change the whole strength of. Because remember, the Bucs are still a game behind the Panthers, right?
Right.
So they would, even if the Bucs win and they would tie with the Panthers. Because of the whole strength of whatever schedule thing and whatnot and wherefore art thou, it would actually advance the Panthers. And then, it's a crazy, crazy deal. And then even if the Bucks win, if the Falcons win out, then the Panthers, because of the scheduling stuff. So even if the Saints don't win next week and all of that, Mike, then
mm-hmm,
the three-way tie would still go to the Panthers. So it's very interesting. Yes, it is very interesting. Now, so basically the Panthers still need help regardless for them to get in even without winning, but there is a scenario where they get in even without winning against the Bucs.
Yes, where they can lose and still get in. It's interesting that would adjust. Tonight, it makes sense. Tonight's game would adjust the strength of schedule because one may have played the Rams, the other one didn't. Actually, they both played the Rams. But the game week 18 shouldn't adjust their division strength of schedule because they both played the Saints and the Falcons twice. So that game shouldn't affect the divisional record or the conference records, opponents of conference records against.
Just super interesting stuff. So there is a world that exists where the Panthers move on even if they lose to the Bucs next week. So just wanted to put that out there. I know everyone's just going to say, like, if they win, this is for it all. But I mean, in theory, it's not. We will know. We will know tomorrow, though, whether it will be actually for it all or not. Good on Kick Your Knees Up, who played the Giants in Circus Survivor with a ticket worth over $2 million. Well, I guess at the time of kickoff, it worth over $3 million. And they will move on. So there will be 6 heading to week 18, Mike Somich. So we will have 6 different people most likely sitting out here behind us here in week 18, sweating out whether they're going to. I mean, we will have 2 teams on islands. We're aware of that. And so we could have someone get an $18.7 million check.
Crazy that the largest pool of Circus Survivors ever could end up down with just one. It's crazy the fact that, like, what was it, week 12? We had 1,000 people left in this contest.
Yeah.
And it's just been a mass eliminations in multiple weeks since then. The dogs went 5-2 in the two holiday weeks. Straight up 5-2, not ATS 5-2. Straight up 5-2 in the two holiday weeks, causing carnage there as well. So, been a fascinating Circus Survivor season. Excited to see how it's going to play out next week.
Josh Allen has a 3rd and 8. Again, it's 4-down territory anyway. They're down by 2 scores. And so he is doing Josh Allen things, running around in 4 circles, and then now ends up getting sacked 20 yards back.
Ooh. Yeah. That was kind of like Josh Allen rookie year things.
So
that was more of the, like, because usually he throws that ball away. Yeah. He's trying to make something happen there.
So now you can't go for it on 4th and 30. So what he has
now
done.
You punt.
Yeah. Now he has done is they have to punt it again. So unfortunate there.
And you hope that no one runs into the end zone when the ball's sitting on the one and touches it.
And again, the other game's done so. 34-10 in favor of the Giants. We are sub 2 minutes in that one. So if you got those Giants tickets, cash them. Good on you there in that one. And this is not just a pat on the back for me. Hopefully you tailed. So, Mike, we're starting to get some lines pop here just as we're going off air. Real quick thoughts as we get to these. Indy and Houston, 10.5 in favor of the Texans. Seems about right. It's going to be Riley Leonard.
Yeah.
Right?
You think it's Riley Leonard.
They interviewed,
10.5 sounds about right.
They interviewed Philip Rivers after this one. He was like crying and stuff. Whatever, like basically all but saying it was his last game, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
there's no sense to run him out there again.
Yeah. New England, 9.5 over Miami.
I mean, that game's not going to mean anything. I kind of like Miami.
I love this so much. Kansas City.
What?
Kansas City 4.5 over Vegas. On the road. Kansas City on the road. 4.5 over Vegas. Oh, that is so amazing.
I mean, I guess it's Kansas City or pass, right? Like after this effort from Vegas.
This is so great. They're like 9th string quarterback. It's so great. George Kittle officially inactive. As we expected, but officially inactive in that one. The Bears, 2.5-point favorites over the Lions.
Bears. I'm surprised that's 2.5.
Cincinnati.
The Lions need to lose that game. They get a 4th-place schedule if they lose that football game.
Yes. The Cincinnati Bengals, 7-point favorites over the Browns in Week 18.
Ooh. No real opinion on that one right out of the gate. My initial gut reaction is Browns are pass.
Yeah. Shadur might can play.
Yeah, he's been fine. With not a lot of talent around him.
Yeah, Shadur might can play. Dallas, 5.5 over the Giants in New York. So on the road. So they're heading outdoors in January. What do you think about that?
I would be more interested in the over than anything else in that game, but I would want to see the weather.
Maybe you would. 52.5.
Never mind. I was hoping for like a 47.5. 52.5?
Dude, I know. That's what I thought high 40. 52.5.
Wow.
That's got to be an underplay,
maybe,
right?
I'm interested in an under.
I was going to say, that's got to be an underplay. I got to write that.
I mean, that's a big number.
I got to write that down.
I was hoping we'd be at like 47.5. I could play the over. I'm guessing my numbers say it should be like 49.50, somewhere in that range.
Yeah,
but
Cowboys,
I obviously haven't run anything.
Giants,
yet.
52.5.
That to me, 52.5 seems big.
That seems again. We're January in New York. I mean, we don't know it could be terrible weather by then too. I mean, like, you know, there's just like they have to make these numbers based off of just like normal. It could be not normal. Atlanta is going to be Atlanta is a 2.5-point favorite over the Saints. You want to keep riding that Saints? You want to keep riding that Saints train?
I mean, I got to figure out how much my Shuck offensive rookie of the year ticket is, because him winning that game is dependent on him probably winning offensive rookie of the year. But yeah, it's Saints or pass at that number. I'd love a 3.
It is a final. The Giants take down the Raiders 34-10. So cash any and all tickets. And again, cannot say it again. Good on kick your knees up here in Circus Survivor for
Way to go. Way to go, buddy. Good job by you.
Had the Bucs, Mike, So could have gotten bounced. Had the Bucks available.
We are 0 minutes to post in the Malibu. If you want to bet the Malibu, first bet, head over. Sign up for account. VSiN 250, number 5, Midland Money. Let's go. Get it home.
Of course, VSiN's going to be with you all week long and through the holiday, guys. Cannot wait to talk more football with you. Week 18, some big games out there for Mike. I'm Matt. Good luck on all your bets.